Hey, Vianya.
Hey, Jono. Good to catch up with you again, mate. So we're back, this time with Sulin Yap, awesome lady. So Sulin is actually a product manager at Facebook in San Francisco. We didn't cover too much about her job. A lot of what she's doing is quite sensitive, but that doesn't make for a boring interview.
Exactly.
Sulin is super energetic, has strong views about the change that she wants to drive within the world.
And she's definitely one of the most passionate individuals we had both met in our career.
So Jonathan, what is one of the key takeaways of this interview?
Sulin is going to give us an insight on the tools that are available to us to design a better society. Sometimes you meet individuals that create real change. Sulin is definitely one of those. So without further ado, please listen to our interview with Sulin.
Enjoy.
You're very tired after a long day. Thank you for waiting for us. And we're waiting for you in the wrong place.
Exactly.
To start off with, if you can tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. First of all, thank you for this opportunity. Looking forward to our conversation today. A little bit about me. So I'm currently a product manager at Facebook, working on our Facebook Analytics product, which is a B2B business analytics product. How I got here. So I started my career thinking about what is the best way for me to use my talent to solve the biggest needs in the world. Initially, I wanted to be a pediatrician, thinking that I could help sick children, pretty good with kids. However, I realized after Malaysia was hit by the Asian financial crisis, I'm from Malaysia, what's really important is building stronger economies because they help not just sick children, but everybody in the society. And so throughout my career, I've always tried to find out what does it take to build strong economies. And I think I found the answer, which is building products that are meet needs of people. They solve underlying pain points. And they do it in a sustainable way, which is where there's a demand in the market and people are willing to pay for it. All their innovative business models that make it a sustainable product.
You did the keynote today, correct?
Yeah, so today, I've had the opportunity of working across three continents, North America, Asia, and Africa, building and scaling products. So today what I did was reflect. It was a really good opportunity to reflect. Actually, it was the first time I did, to talk what building and scaling products in different markets is like. And actually, I found that there are a lot of commonalities. The first one is really deeply understanding the people problem and immersing in context, because the same problem, different context, will entail differences. The second one, and this is the whole product development process. First, you bring them a problem. Then the second one is to try to brainstorm like innovative solutions together. And so I shared a few methods, five thought starter questions, how to devise innovation. The third one, which is differentiation, a method I use personally, which is a star spot method. A lot of people talk about sweet spots, but the star spot is where it's the nexus of both the market needs, what your resources are, what are assets that are rare, hard to imitate, hard to substitute, and valuable, as well as your capabilities. What can you do, innovate faster than others? And the reason why I brought this up was because a lot of companies that I've advised or mentored or even judged, they often miss the strategic angle when they're doing prioritization. In terms of the fourth one out of the 5 points I talked about was having an experimental mindset. So it's not just about doing experiments, but it's also having that mindset that you're always testing and learning and phasing things. And one quick way of thinking, I like to use questions a lot, which is what would you build in a hackathon? That really helps you prioritize what are the key hypotheses you need to test, and also designing your data. A lot of people focus on designing a product, but having the data to actually measure what success looks like, having metrics, and even like being able to peel the onion, understanding what's the logic of change so that you can actually know whether it was truly successful as opposed to what I call just looking at the stars, which is statistical significance. The fifth one is all about people. Like at the end of the day, behind every successful product is a team. And a lot of people talk about building a family, having a family kind of atmosphere. I actually think a sports team analogy is even more powerful because in the marketplace, sometimes it's rough. And you have to have a team that wins in the most. And what I realized working in 9 different countries is it's pretty common that the most important thing is building trust. Because once you have trust, especially during peacetime, you build those relationships. When things get tough and you have to have hard conversations, it's a much easier place to come from. It's one of the things that takes time, but it's not things that actually it starts from small actions. So like working around the world, like if you're able to be, you know, considerate of people's working hours, taking turns, having like crazy working hours, I think it really helps. It really signals that you care for the person. And a lot of people try to optimize for like, oh, what should I do? What should I say? By the end of the day, is how do you want the person to feel? That is.
You told a story about vegetables and research that you did. I think it was with
a consumer electronics.
Consumer products, yeah.
It's a really interesting experience. So this company is based in China, and they they're still doing very well, and they were looking at the next frontiers of growth. And the market in the urban parts of China is pretty saturated, so they were looking at rural China. And so they were thinking about how what kind of products can they fulfill these needs. Initially, they just shipped the original products, and then they were looking at their customer support tickets, and they realized that they had a high number of support tickets where the pipes were clogged. And so they thought like, is it this batch of product shipping there is not manufactured well? Or is it that our technology is not suited for these climates or these conditions? And what they realized when they sent their people to the front lines was that the farmers were using washing machines to wash vegetables. And what was really powerful for and really give kudos to the team was that they, instead of telling the customers that you shouldn't wash your vegetables and potatoes using a washing machine, it's for clothes only, instead they innovated and basically used different technologies to ensure that you could both wash your clothes and wash your vegetables using the same machine.
The awesome stories. I love that. But that the emotional part is gone in some of the products that we design. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, sure. So I think like, especially these days as more and more products are using algorithms, are using analytics. One, I often ask, what are we not measuring? Right? You can only optimize for what you measure. And a lot of times this emotional component is what they call the X factor, the magic that makes a product. Why do customers spend so much of money to buy an iPhone? Right? Like there is something there, and that emotional part often influences our decisions, even though we want to be rational, but we are often swayed. And so touching into those emotions and being cognizant like of them is pretty important, especially as products too. Like what kind of emotions do you evoke from using the product really influences the success of the person using the product or getting what they want.
You spoke about becoming a temporary local. And that for me was also a very interesting concept. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, I think it comes from being a global citizen, because I've traveled. But what I realized was why temporary local is because you really have to immerse yourself in the local context and really ask, what is different here? What is missing here? For example, when I was in Korea, I was very surprised talking to customers that are businesses that like they had a lot of mobile app transactions compared to the United States. And what was interesting was because they have very good infrastructure there. That is what they have, which is pretty unique. Taking same mobile example, like in Kenya, they have a very interesting M-Pesa model where they can use phones to transfer money and really taking advantage of these local, whether a lot of people think emerging markets is their challenges, their things they're missing, but sometimes they have pretty unique solutions and clearly can leapfrog markets that are developed. So what I found really helpful is actually going to marketplaces, going to where people shop, going to where people, what products are they using, use the local apps, read the local news, because that really helps you feel like a local and you can see what are the choices and how your environment is going to influence what products you choose, what products you're going to use more frequently, and what's the experience that would be ideal.
You started telling us that your goal was to help people. So how can you, now you're in a position where you actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you envision the future? How can you help more?
Yeah, so great question. So right now in my role, I really love my job because I help different groups of people. I help businesses, help them understand their customers better so they can grow their businesses. I also help my product team where I help them understand what is the right product to build and how do we build it the right way. So there are these two groups of people that I'm helping. And I think in terms of how do you be a multiplier, right? How do you do more with less? And I think it's one part of it, I think, is hopefully touch wood if everything goes well. Manage like bigger teams. Then I'll be touching on the management side. I'll be helping more people. On the businesses side, right now we're focusing on building the right product. And once we get things right, we've already started to scale and build awareness around Facebook analytics. But the hope is that through a combination of, I would say, technology and hard work, you're able to have that multiplier effect. And I'm sure there are more technologies to come. I think that if you build a good product, product market fit is about word of mouth. Right? If things are really good, people will talk about that. And ideally, I hope the ideal situation is the product helps so many businesses that people say that this is in Facebook analytics is indispensable to my growth. Right? That would be
excellent. And then I want to ask some more general questions too. Then, Poland, have you been here before?
No, this is my first time.
And what do you think?
What do I think? Sure. So I would say, like, basing on my interactions, I'm very limited basing on what I've seen. One thing that I found really interesting is how health conscious people are, which I was not expecting. I love going to supermarkets and like the number of vegan and gluten-free options, both in the markets, in the hotels, and even in the convenience stores, where a convenience store is typically, I guess, like the most quick and easy food. I was really impressed. So that was one of my, in terms of like more local life. The second part was just how engaged people were and how thoughtful people were about their comments. Like I was really pleasantly surprised that people gave both positive and constructive feedback and weren't afraid of asking hard questions, which is something that at Facebook we take really think it's really important to have crucial conversations, and that was really good because a lot of times companies fail or teams fail when people don't try to stay away from having these hard conversations. So that was something that I found and that really excites me about like the people here have both the ambition, the technical skills, as well as this, I guess, desire to improve. So.
Amen to that.
So you told us that you are that global citizen. You lived in a lot of countries and you're still going around. Do you have a place that is close to your heart in terms of either personal or professional experience?
So you're saying like which place I really enjoy?
Yeah.
Or how I thought about life is like you try to make the best decision and then you make the decision the best one. You make it right. And so everywhere I am, I try to make the best out of it and really live life to the fullest. Right now, I'm based in Seattle. I'm really enjoying it so far. We'll see. We'll see where life takes me and where opportunities take
Maybe
me.
Maybe Poland, right?
Maybe Poland. I ever worked in in Europe, so that's definitely something that probably further down the line I will look into, but right now I really like the product I'm working on, the businesses we're serving, the team I'm working with. It's like something like I don't feel like work is work. I feel like I'm having fun, and so
and that's what how it should be, right?
So no thoughts about moving yet.
It's actually very refreshing to discuss with someone who likes work, and you communicate it so well. We have no issues of believing you that like we I mean, I want to use your tool now.
thank you. We say the journey is 1% finished. So there are good things about the product. There are obviously areas we need to improve.
And all the things. What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Yeah, I love to run. And I think that's one. So I actually call them wellness gems. There are four things in life that I have to do every day that helps me keep, I guess, centered. And so gems stand for, this starts from with gratitude journal. So every day I write down things that I'm grateful for. It helps you look for things in a positive light or turn things into in a more optimistic way. It also helps that I need to get something done so that I have something good to talk about, right? Yeah. To write about. Second one, E is exercise. The third one is meditation. I used to think it was like a pretty wishy-washy concept. But I actually found after practicing it, it really helps detach from emotions. And also visualizing a positive day actually makes things much better. And finally, sleep. 7 hours of sleep. In terms of fun, I really like to run. And so that's where I want to combine. I set these crazy goals. One of them is to run half marathons on every continent. So that's my crazy goal.
Krakow, next May, half marathon.
So yeah, I haven't decided my Europe one yet. So
so we'll send you some applications for Krakow.
It'd be good to see the city when it's in a different season.
In the summer,
it's beautiful. Yeah. If somebody wants to get into an 80s right now, we're 20 years old. Somebody listening to our podcast was like, okay, I want to be like her. I want to get to help people. What should you study? Where should you go? What should you do?
Yeah, I would say my advice, especially for college students, I guess it differs by different countries. I would say go get experience. That's the best time. If I were to say, what do I miss being a student? It's being able to experiment more. So you're able to take your summers, your winters, or even working part-time to try out different jobs and figuring out what you like and what you don't like. Even if you figure out like this is really not for you, it's also great because you now have like, I think that one of the things in this century is you'll be overwhelmed by choices. And being able to say like these are options I am not considering is a huge luxury. And so I would say just try out. Try to get opportunities. And sometimes some roles require experience. But if you don't have the experience, create experience yourself. Work on a project. Like think about what kind of products you want to build. And try experimenting and seeing how it goes. Going through the process, having that hands-on experience really helps you know whether you like it. But also gives you credibility when you speak with people that, hey, I've done this before. This is what has worked. This didn't work so well. I would say just go for it. And in terms of classes, I know there are more and more schools, whether it's formal university education or like boot camp type of classes. I would say it all depends on how much discipline you have. I also like variety. I think a lot of the latest, and I mentioned this in today's talk, a lot of the latest innovations come from unique combinations of different disciplines. So having like different backgrounds, you approach the problem in a very different lens, and that's what makes actually pretty unique.
It's funny you mentioned it. We brought one of our friends from Warsaw here. She's an artist, and she's had some really cool conversations here with connecting with people. But the thing is, she looks at things completely differently.
Everyone is an entrepreneur.
Yeah, excellent.
So yeah.
Celine, I'm super happy that you made the time to chat to us on like probably the worst hour. You're super tired. The energy just keeps on flowing. I don't know how you do it.
You're seriously amazing.
Yeah, we wish you definitely the best forward, and hopefully you'll come back to Poland again.
We'll
be more organized next time when we have an interview with you.
After
your
ice mountain.
We'll see if since then you've got the same amount of energy, right?
Yeah.
Sounds good.